We don't have any post-meeting assignments or consent items, so we'll start with 6.1, the Northern Lights Movement for Kids, and we'll invite Superintendent Martell, Vice Principal Celeste Larray-Lecht, and Coordinator Cornelia Laliberti to join us and present on the Northern Lights Movement for Kids.
Thank you, Chair Boyko, and welcome. Good to see all the board in person, so it's nice to be here today. Thank you. It gives me great honor to introduce the report of the Northern Lights Movement for Kids. And typically when we introduce a board report, there's a lot of preamble or narrative, but I think this narrative speaks for itself. And we're thrilled that Celeste Larray-Lecht and Cornelia Laliberti are able to join us for this report. This is something that I think is really important that the board knows about. This is a story of loss and resilience and healing, and it's really a story of generosity in terms of Celeste's leadership and how she has translated her own narrative into generous outreach to some of our most needy and vulnerable youth within the province. And we're just so very proud of her as a leader and as a human being and as a mom. That this is just a narrative that we're very proud to bring to the board today. So without further ado, Celeste and Cornelia, I'll turn it over to you to lead us through the presentation and video.
Thank you, Gordon. So our plan for today is just to, I guess, walk through. We know that you have the board report in front of you, so we're going to walk through a PowerPoint presentation and then show a short video, and then after that we will have some times for discussion and for questions. So I guess first we'll start with the PowerPoint. Did you want us to screen share that or is that up now?
It's up.
Okay.
So thank you everyone for giving me this time, and thank you to Superintendent Martell and Cornelia for your support. So Cornelia, I'll ask you just to go to the very first slide, please. I'll talk while that's coming up. So as you know, the premise of the Northern Lights Movement for Kids is for us to create opportunities for Indigenous and non-Indigenous youth to build relationship and make connections while serving others. There we go. So we're at the end right here. Cornelia, if you could just, that's the last slide. We could just scroll up. There we go.
We got okay. Somebody else working it, so.
Oh, somebody else is, sorry. Thank you so much. Okay, so, so this is our new logo that we just launched, and we can go to the next slide, please. And this is my family. So my husband, Kurt, and my four kids. I have two daughters. Kiana is in grade 12. Chris is in grade 9, both at HCI here in Humboldt. Isaac graduated last year from high school, and he's online at U of S, first year of university. And then Jacob, and my husband, Kurt. I'm not sure if I introduced him. Next slide, please. So this is my son, Jacob, whom we lost in the Humboldt Broncos crash, April 6, 2018. So Northern Lights Movement for Kids is something that allows me to serve God, honor all youth, especially in our province, and it helps me to honor the memory of my son. So he is my guide in all of this. Next slide, please. So the mission of Northern Lights Movement for Kids is for Indigenous and non-Indigenous youth in Saskatchewan to build relationships and make connections by serving others. Next slide. Our hope is to help foster peace in our province and to create unity, for children to demonstrate the good that happens in our province, to challenge the media to commit to reporting good news. Next slide. So students are invited to make personal connections with peers from other schools in Saskatchewan by challenging one another to serve the community as a class or as a school, and to gain attention from the media in order to show unity in Saskatchewan, our home. So I often use the hashtag KidStrong. And I'll talk at the end about our newest initiative called the Great Prairie Race. Next slide, please. So some of the acts of service that we did this past year is we held a bake sale, and the proceeds from that sale went to the community of Makwa, and we made some cards as well and sent some Hershey hugs and kisses to let them know they had a string of suicides, and it was just so upsetting. And I understand they're a community that struggles at times, so we just wanted to let them know that we're praying for them and to send them some love. Also, we sent some Valentine's Day cards. We will always send Valentine's Day cards to someone because Jacob was a Valentine baby. So last year we sent them to the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital. And in the bottom, we have a picture of a bunch of kids from St. Dominic's School and from the high school. We got together, some teachers organized a cleanup. So we washed all the seats in the arena before the home opener of the Bronco season last year. Next slide, please. So this is probably the most fun we've had. Lalosh is near and dear to my heart. Their tragedy in 2016, just, I couldn't get it outside of my head. So really, that was kind of the beginning of this whole movement. Even before we lost Jacob, I just didn't have a name for it yet. So we started a pen pal relationship in February of 2018 with students from Ducharme Elementary School. And then last fall, we kept that going. Last fall, we were given permission to invite students from the Dene High School. So St. Augustine School in Humboldt, their relationship is more with a high school because it's a grade 7 to 12 high school. And St. Dominic's relationship is more with the elementary school. And so we were able to invite students from their high school to our student leadership conference. Last year, we met, we did some brainstorming as to what we could do together. And then, so that was really neat. Our students, as luck would have it, my youngest daughter, Carissa, was at the conference. So she keeps me informed with what's happening in Lalosh. All those kids have continued a relationship through Snapchat. And so I hope that's a good thing. It seems to be. And then at the start of COVID, we were able to meet virtually a handful of times with kids from the grade 8 classes at St. Augustine and St. Dominic schools, as well as the kids from the high school. And that was just a really fun experience. So we're hoping to continue on with that this fall. Next slide, please. Another project that I started during my Easter holidays was connecting the Pine House Photography Club to HCI's Photography Club. So I follow it's called A New Lens on Life. It's a program that a psych nurse in Pine House started and has gotten some high-end cameras donated to their club, and they've just done some incredible work. It is just outstanding through photography, and it's been a very positive thing for their youth. And so we were able to connect the two clubs together and did May long weekend project where they shared pictures of each other. The project was called My Skies, Your Skies, Our Sky. And you'll get a chance to see the video at the end of my presentation that highlights the work that they did. Next slide, please. We also had our great here. She started a 111-kilometer challenge to raise awareness to the Northern Lights Movement for Kids. So she did one in June. We play a lot on the number 11 because Jacob wore the number 11 when he was with the Broncos. And so we did a challenge in June, and then we did another one from July 11th to August 11th, and we did that one on land or on water. And it was a really great way for kids to connect and adults to connect. And our community of Humboldt responded really well. We were really appreciative of everyone's participation. Next slide, please. So this is the newest challenge that we're doing. St. Dominic's School has already started this with Ducharme Elementary School in La Loche. And it's a little bit tricky because in La Loche, they're doing online learning 1 week. They have two cohorts happening. So it's 1 week on, 1 week off, and the cohorts flip. So it's a little bit tricky, but they're on board and we're so excited and grateful. So I'll just walk you through this. So Indigenous and primarily non-Indigenous classes, schools, or teams from the Prairie provinces are invited to challenge each other to get in motion by walking, running, wheeling the distance to each other's communities. So the idea is to choose a community to travel to in the prairies. You invite a designated community to accept the challenge. Accepting the challenge means both communities walk, run, or wheel the total distance between your communities as a combined effort. It is not a competition between the two communities. So it's 652 kilometers to La Loche. We decided to go there and back for a total of 1,302 kilometers, and we are halfway there. So you calculate the distance in kilometers between your communities, map out a 1 kilometer walk in your community, or calculate how many laps are around a gym, that how many laps equal 1 kilometer. Individuals from your classes or teams walk, run, or wheel and keep track of the distance traveled on a tally sheet. Distances are tallied and shared each week with each other until the total distance from your community to theirs or there and back is reached. So Ducharme has designated one of the teachers there stepped up to take the lead, but there are a lot of teachers involved in this at both schools. Next slide, please. During the journey, meet virtually to say hello and learn about each other by asking the following questions. On what treaty territory do you live? What is the population of your community? What is the population of your school? What are some of the most popular healthy pastimes for youth in your community? What are special traditions that take place in your community? Name one or more admirable and positive role models that live or have lived in your community. Why are they admired? So teachers are encouraged to discuss these questions with their class prior to meeting virtually. And then we have an opportunity to ask these questions and speak to them when we meet. Prizes will be given to communities who finish the race. So right now we have t-shirts and some little paraphernalia to give out as prizes. It's a great opportunity to be physically active and meet new friends. The government is encouraging people to get outside we can easily social distance while doing this. I gave a little presentation to the Northern Lights School Division last week, and some of the teachers there suggested snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. So, and as luck would have it, our school has both those things. So that's another great possibility. So we want to hear from schools, and they're encouraged to share about their successes on social media. And the hashtags that I use are, because I know the title is long, NLMFK for Northern Lights Movement for Kids, Building Relationships, Making Connections, Serving Others, which, by the way, I stole from Darcy Leach. That was the kind of the motto or the theme used probably about 4 years ago for an opening mass. So credit to your school division for I'm using that. And Kids Strong, Prairie Strong, Believe. Next slide, please. So here's an example to the left of the chart. We're just charting the progress that we make. We only started 2 weeks ago, and already both schools are halfway there. And so I expect in the next week or two, we'll have reached the distance. And we're just matching up teachers. Right now, the cohort that is doing most of the walking, they're online. So hopefully the following week, we'll arrange for our virtual meets between classes. And then I have a bulletin board up in the main hallway of the school. On the left side is a treaty map. Then there's a little poster explaining the races. There's a tracking sheet for teachers to grab, the chart showing how far we've gone, and then a map of Saskatchewan. And it's hard to tell, but I have a purple tack on Humboldt and a purple tack on the Losh, just to show the proximity of, you know, where we live from each other. So that's the Great Prairie Race. Next slide, please. So the ultimate dream would be for students to be able to meet and establish healthy relationships and forge new friendships, for students to celebrate together, and for Saskatchewan to be an example of peace. Next slide, please. And then these, again, same hashtags. Next slide. I'm having fun with some of the graphic art stuff. And then just how to contact us. So that's it for the PowerPoint presentation. And I think, so we'll show a video. It's 8 minutes long. It's a compilation of the pictures taken from Pinehouse Photography Club and Humboldt Collegiate Institute Photography Club. And that was taken May long weekend. I know I talk a lot. I hope I'm not being too rambly.
I'm gonna play now.
Thank you.
So I'm guessing that's the end of the video.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. I want to thank you again for your time and for your attention. I appreciate it very much, and I look forward to pursuing more opportunities to help kids build relationships and make connections. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Celeste. So, trustees, after that wonderful presentation and that beautiful video, I'm wondering if anyone has any questions or comments that they'd like to give Celeste and Cornelia on board and the team. Well, I know that everyone is smiling after that beautiful photography that both schools were able to present. So thank you for that, Celeste. And thank you for the Northern Lights Movement for Kids. What an important piece, I think, for all of us to remember that it's basic connections and relationship that will ensure that we put forward what we're supposed to be putting forward to with our fellow man. And I think that the program that you started, I believe you said 2016 is when you began, has done such good work up to this point. And I know that Jacob is looking down and being very proud of his mom. So thank you for all the good work that you do for us in Humboldt and for the whole school division. We appreciate everything that you do. So trustees, you can see that the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented with the Northern Lights Movement for Kids report. I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. Trustee Jelinski is seconding that motion. All those in favor? That motion is carried. And again, Celeste and Cornelia and Gord, thank you very much for a great presentation.
Thank you very much. And all the best in all the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Have a good week.
You too.
Thank you. See you later.
Thank you, Cornelia. All right, trustees, 6.2 is our financial statements, and Superintendent CFO Lloyd will lead us in that conversation. I'm not sure I like him behind me, so I'm going to turn around.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. I'll just turn the board's attention to the last page of the report. And this is the variance analysis page. So the financial statements are just up to the end of July. The end of August is our year-end financial statements, and we'll bring those to the board next month for approval. That's at least what we're planning on doing as of today. Very similar trend to what I'll present today, and I'll really refer to some of the year-end balances as well as we go through the report. So really very similar to past financial statement updates that we provided. And the revenue side, because our revenue was not impacted by COVID-19 from a grant perspective from the Ministry of Education, our property taxation and grants are fairly what we budgeted. The only difference really is property taxation. There was a delay that was provided from the state of Saskatoon to our ratepayers where they could delay their payment of education property tax. So in essence, what it does for us is we receive too much grant during that period, because every month what they'll do is they'll look at the amount of grant we received and they subtract off the taxation that we collected. And because we didn't receive any taxation during those periods, we received in essence too much grant. So at year end, we will make an adjusted entry for that so that it does balance out. But we will see as of August 31st, additional grant revenue and less property taxation than we were budgeting for. By the end of the day, we'll net out to zero. The other category, school during funds, is the other major variance of $610,000. So for our families, our students, we did refund a number of our class fees, especially in the high school areas due to the pandemic. So there was a refund there. We also, schools would have saved some costs due to that. So there was, again, a net zero when you look at the expenses and the revenue. Other than that, for revenue, it was close to what we projected, and we anticipate to being on budget with small adjustments for pandemic-related refunds. On the expenditure side, this is an area that we did see some variance from budget, and we look into our salary accounts, and for the most part, we still paid staff over during the pandemic, so that expense was still there. We did save some dollars in our substitute and casual categories as we weren't filling vacancies during that time. So there was some savings there, as well as in our transportation area. we negotiated an amended agreement for payments, so we saved about 15% of our transportation bill during that time. So overall expenses and looking at revenue, the offset, we as of July and as of the end of August, we've seen similar projections. About a $2.5 million surplus is what we are projecting. Now, when we break that down, about $1 million of that is carryover that we allowed our schools to carry over any remaining funds in their budgets to into this year, as we knew, as we recognized that they'll incur additional expenses this year with the pandemic. We also allowed consultant coordinators or managers to carry over their budgets because we were finding when we authorized purchases for items, many of those items were delayed. And we still haven't received them since October, almost November. So one of the reasons we carry funds over is for purchases made prior to the end of August. They'll have budget then for when they actually receive them, which is when we would actually expense them to receive the good. So we allow that carryover. We also committed to about $1 million of pandemic expenses, same as the other categories. We haven't received those items necessarily yet as of the end of July, and we didn't receive those at the end of August either. So we carried forward those funds, which again allows us to have budget to pay for those goods when we receive them this school year. For the most part, we've received most of what we ordered, but technology, furniture, those two main items are very difficult to get, and the lead time is up to 8 weeks right now we're seeing to receive those goods. Other than that, we did indicate to the Ministry of Education that we did about $500,000 of savings that was left over, and again, that will be used towards our pandemic plan for this year as we're looking at buying additional PPE, resources, furniture, and of course also additional staffing to support student learning at this time. So overall, that's kind of where we ended July, and August will be very similar in a formal report to the board here hopefully by end of November.
Great, thank you, Joel. Any questions of Joel, trustees? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the accounts paid for the period May 1st, 2020 to May 31st, 2020 and June 1st, 2020 to June 30th, 2020 and July 1st, 2020 to July 31st, 2020 and receive the financial statements for the period ending July 31st, 2020. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Hawkins, a seconder for that. Trustee Stoops, all those in favor? That motion is carried. Thank you, Joel. 6.3, the GSCS Pandemic Response Plan, Report Number 6. Does it feel like it's Report Number 6 already, Director Shatlin?
Maybe Report 66. yes, it's been certainly an interesting period of time, and with these regular updates, it's again not repeating things that have been reported to the board already. Just giving any updates on vision plans that have been adjusted or changed since our last opportunity to discuss it. So I guess just by quick recap, our return to school plan was launched on August 4th. There was new iterations of that came forward over the month of August as we learned new information and worked through a lot of the detail. And that plan has been in operation now since the beginning of the school year. And I would say that in large part, the plan remains consistent. Which I think is very good to see. The opportunities to make the changes that we made seem to be having the desired impact. In conversation with Dr. Shahab recently, he has remarked about the fact that with the number of cases on the rise and what we've seen happening in our province, that he has not seen any transmission happening at school level. And so that's really the litmus test on the plan that we put into place, making sure that we have the layering of protections and processes in place to help mitigate against transmission. And again, what we've seen thus far seems to be supporting the fact that the planning has been successful. And so, of course, as we started working through that, there's been this slight adjustment here and there, but by and large, the plan remains quite consistent, so that's good to hear. Again, though, as with everything since this has emerged 6 months ago, we've had to remain very vigilant and also very flexible and attentive to new things that come up. So as we work through various elements of this, we've always are needing to be challenging ourselves and looking at what's next, what do we see on the horizon, and preparing for that. So our teams, the planning structure that we had in behind that continues to be operational and getting together as need be. And one of the recent elements that has been expanded in our plan has been the turning over of a classroom or a school into distance learning as being directed by Saskatchewan Health Authority. So we had a lot of those plans in place, and then we put that plan to test recently as Father Vachon School was asked to move into an online structure for a period of time until October 21st. And so we're just in the midst of that right now, and can report that by and large the plans that we had in place were appropriate. We've been working very hard to make sure that we had technology in the hands of families, that our staff were feeling comfortable in making that move to online learning, again having all that structure already in place for them to make that move. Things have gone, I think, relatively smoothly. Certainly some learnings that we have from that process that we'll use to improve our plans, but by and large things have gone okay. Certainly been a challenge for the families and the communities, no doubt about that. One piece that we were able to inject into that process was the federal support for families who experience work interruptions due to having to care for a student or a child or youth in a circumstance such as this. And so there are some resources available for families through the federal program if they have to have some work interruption due to things like this. And so we got the information to the families, and hopefully they're able to access some of that support. So again, that's one piece. We'll add more upfront in the process if hopefully not, we don't have to, but if we have to go down this path again, we'll adjust our communication accordingly. So certainly the flow charts, the communication processes have all, I think, evolved. They're very, very helpful. We've got it down now to, a good series of steps. But again, each circumstance is just slightly different. And so each time you have to really look at the circumstances of that certain, of what's going on there, and then adjust and tweak just a little bit based on that. And so our team, and thanks to Superintendent Van Gool and the whole executive council team who are involved in these processes, just doing yeoman service in being attentive to the work and the communication and the planning that goes behind this. Just an update, certainly the distance learning K-12 portion continues to function. Roughly 1,300 students, and I think last time we reported, that was still a bit early on and trying to settle down that number. And it's pretty solid there now. There isn't much change. Everyone is kind of settled into the process. Our classroom groupings are done, our staff is operating, and we're just working through kind of now just get a good routine going and ensuring that everything is moving forward in a good way. I just wanted to report back on one element of the overall plan that we launched in August was the QR visitor code. The contact tracing process that goes on when a positive case is identified in a community, or in our case a school, is very rapid. It has to happen in a hurry, and we need that information accessible very quickly to hand off to SHA in terms of who was in the cohort in the classroom, what was the seating plan, what happened and transpired over that period of time, and who were visitors to the building during that time. And so the QR code has proven to be very helpful in quickly sorting through that time frame, dates, times, here it is, batch it together, and then we have that communication capacity with folks who have been in the buildings. Of course, at this stage, our visitor group in any school is very, very limited, but even just our itinerant staff, facilities folks, that kind of thing that come in and out of our buildings, our IT staff, still we need to track that and be able to know who was in contact, and it's been very helpful to have that piece in place. So just a kudos back to our IT team who developed this process for us back in August in anticipation of what we may be going through, and it's proven to be very helpful. I think, as eventually when things begin to open up again, we allow a few more visitors into our buildings, we'll still be needing to manage that, and I think the QR code process will continue to be very helpful for us. Those were the main updates I wanted to share at this point. Again, just to highlight again the great work our staff have been doing in implementing these changes and being very creative and still trying to provide the best, most engaging type of education, Catholic education, that they can, given the limitations that we have at this stage. And there are many limitations, and everybody is doing the best they can. But again, just yeoman service. And we'll continue to monitor things very closely and be ready to adapt as we need to. no predicting what will be around the next corner. That hasn't, we haven't been able to do that for the last 6 months, and there's nothing to say that that's going to change anytime soon. So we continue to be vigilant and attentive to what's going on and make the adjustments as necessary. So with that brief overall oversight, I will maybe turn it over to any questions trustees have or comments, or to executive if there are any pieces that I can't at this time.
With that tracking device, if I were to walk into a school today, is that something you do online on your phone, or is it something that's a form you fill out, or do you get an idea?
So at the entry of every school will be a large QR code, so it's kind of that pattern-y looking thing. You put your phone up to it, take a picture of it, and then it, put your phone up to it through your photo app, and then it brings up the questions and then sign up and shows through this phone and quickly on your phone. If you don't have a phone, there are sheets that the office to help out with that too.
Any other questions, trustees? Again, Greg, just kudos to all of exec council and yourself and the whole team for the leadership that you've shown in this capacity. I think it's important to note again, as you said, because of the protocols that we've put in place, that it has allowed us to be nimble when it comes to being able to deal with circumstances when there is a positive case within our building. And I think we spoke earlier that, you know, there's 50,000 kids, 45,000 kids, I guess, in Saskatoon and surrounding areas, and 5,000 staff. And for us to be able to have the protocols we have in place that have been keeping people safe is, I think, is kudos to everything that's been done over the last few months for sure. So thank you to all of you. All right, trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the GSCS Pandemic Response Plan Report, number 6. I'll need someone to move that. Trustee Beckler. Thank you, Trustee Carrier, for seconding that motion. All those in favor? That motion is carried as well. All right, 6.4, the Premier's Board of Education Award for Innovation and Excellence in Education. This is an exciting presentation by Director Shatlin and Superintendent Martel.
Chair Boyko, I'll leave the report and invite other executive members if anything that they want to contribute to the report as well.
So Executive Council is pleased to present the nomination on behalf of the board to the Saskatchewan School Board Association Premier's Board of Education Award for Innovation and Excellence 2020. Our submission is entitled Marci Oma Gichi Gamian, which means thank you for the great gift. And that is a reference to many aspects, but certainly the language component is an element that we're very proud of, that we have pursued at St. Michael's School of Métis School of Excellence since inception 3 short years ago. We're very proud as well that this submission is, to the best of our knowledge, is the first submission to the SSBA in an Indigenous language. And so we did submit in both Michif and English, and we thought that was important, a marker in terms of just putting the language forward front and center and demonstrating its prevalence, I suppose, at the school. I won't walk through every page of the report, but just to draw some highlights for you. When we originally discussed the nomination on behalf of the board, the question came forward in terms of what elements are we submitting? Is it about the language or what actually is the substance of the nomination? And the substance of the nomination, as we started to put the package together, was certainly diverse and really even helped us to take stock and be proud of the ground we've covered in terms of the Métis School of Excellence. The submission includes overall the blanket of the Métis-focused school, as well as the Education Alliance, which is our co-governance agreement with the Central Urban Métis Federation. It includes the many partnerships, and I'll say at this point, if you have an opportunity to peruse the letters of support from our various partners, I think that's really heartening. They're certainly more than a form letter, for sure. They really do demonstrate the buy-in and that the stakeholders have. As well, the language component, both in terms of the core Michif that we began and also the bilingual Michif that we were able to instigate through our partnership with the Métis Nation Saskatchewan is certainly a major aspect of our Métis-focused school programming. As well, the curricular commitments that started long before the Métis School of Excellence was identified, but the work that Court Daunier and others on the First Nations Métis Inuit Education team have done in terms of identifying curricular connections to ensure that Métis themes, content, and perspectives are prevalent throughout the program at the school. And lastly, but probably most importantly, the opportunity through the nomination to demonstrate the student learning outcomes. And in everything that we do, we hold that dear. First, we're school, and that's what we aspire to. But to be able to draw some linkages between the focus of the school in terms of the Métis programming and student learning outcomes or student outcomes in learning and participation was very heartening as well, and just a great opportunity to take stock. Another aspect of the nomination that I would invite the board to consider is just the genuine nature of the board influence. The board, we identified it in three categories. Relational, just the way that you have become, you're in the circle of the Métis leadership and Métis organizations, and they very much feel that they are friends of the board, and they very much appreciate the board members, inviting and seeing them at events and talking to them and having conversations, and they just appreciate the whole board's, genuine buy-in and value for what they offer as Métis organizational and community partners. As well, the second aspect of board participation is the participatory aspect, where the board is very present, be it on the governance committee of the Alliance or the many events that are held in conjunction with celebrating Métis culture and identity, language and learning. So the board is very present there. And lastly, in that category, the strategic aspect as well, that through the agreement that allows for board direction to the Métis School of Excellence, as well as a monitoring function to the board, it means that that participation that you have that helped to instigate the Métis School of Excellence will be sustained. And so I think the board can be very proud of its genuine connections to this initiative. Also, the area of innovations and sustainability, there are many there, but they kind of dovetail. A lot of the things that we do differently to make sure that the Métis focus is prevalent will also speak to its sustainability. So the structural elements through the staff, through the Métis elder, through the Métis education model, through the partnerships, through the alliance, through our hiring strategy, there's just so many components that mean that we can predict that this model will be sustained for years to come. And that's the challenge with many models, many initiatives, and many partnerships. It's easier to get them off the ground than it is to sustain them. But the board's foresight allowed for a front loading that of structure that will ensure that the Métis School of Excellence is the thin end of the wedge, so to speak, and we're sure that there's much more to come in terms of Métis education partnerships and initiatives with the board. As I mentioned already, the partnerships aspect with Métis Nation Saskatchewan, with SunTep, with GDI, these are very important organizations that contribute a lot to our division in many ways, and that those contributions really precede the alliance and the Métis-focused school, but these initiatives allow those partnerships to really be brought to fruition. And we're really proud of Comfy and MNS particularly in terms of how they stepped up with resources and they fund staff positions, and they allow us to do the good work that we're doing, and they're very engaged partners and very accountable partners. And again, the letters of support really illustrate that. The evidence of achievement is, again, something that I think in looking at the nomination, we were really proud to be able to say there are some quick and dramatic gains in terms of community integration and involvement, but also student attendance, enrollment, reading outcomes. And certainly it's premature to identify patterns or trends, but we do see a number of positive indicators that
would converge to say that there's something going well at St. Michael Community School. And certainly the energy that you feel when you're in the building is more than just effervescence, that there's some tangible outcomes in, again, learning and participation. And so just with that brief overview, again, we're proud of the fact that we had this opportunity to take stock of the program. No matter what the outcome of this nomination, we're very proud of the gains we made in a short period of time, proud of our partnerships, proud of the board's involvement, and proud that we were able to submit, as I said, the, as far as we know, the first SSBA Premier's Award for Innovation and Excellence in an Indigenous language. So that's our report, and certainly open it up to any questions or comments.
Thank you, Gord. Trustees, would you like to ask Gord anything or make any comments? Trustee Dolinsky?
Thank you. We saw a graph of this before, so it's very well done. If we are not successful in achieving this award, I know it goes to the SSBA, and they adjudicate it and then pass it on, I believe, right? If it doesn't go further than that, can we send a copy of this to the minister? Because this is such a dramatic project, and I mean, there's people out there who might, you know, bend his ear and mention it to him, but should we have some process? Should we not be successful? We still, like, this is something to celebrate, regardless of the award or not. Could we send that to the Minister of Education?
Thank you, Trustee Jelinski. I think that's an excellent recommendation, and we'd be proud to share this report with the ministry. And as I mentioned a couple times in the report, you know, not often do we get the opportunity to kind of take stock and write the narrative and really map the journey. And so I think it becomes an important document that'll be able to help us sharpen our focus and to look back and measure our gains. But certainly, you know, I think sharing the report with the minister, with the ministry, is an important step. And there might be other partners too that we choose to share the report with. So thank you for that recommendation. We'll certainly follow through on that.
Yeah, and I think Bishop probably would like to see the report too. So maybe we could just email him both copies too, that he'd be able to, take a look at it. Yeah. How was your mischief coming along?
Was my mischief?
Mischief. The other is none of my business.
The other is slower to come. Okay.
All right, trustees, seeing no other questions, a recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Premier's Board of Education Award for Innovation and Excellence in Education report. And I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustees and Presby Rebecky. I'll need a seconder for that motion. Trustee Burscheid, all those in favor? That motion is carried. And Gord, you know from all of us how much we appreciate all the good work that's gone on to not only the report, but in the actual work that's gone on for this has been an evolving and evergreen kind of process. And I think the fruits of your team's labor is very evident in this report, but more so than anything, it's just evident at St. Michael's. And every time there is I think the last time I had sent all of you that I think it was Nutrient, I put forward that little bit of a video and had our St. Michael's kids that were performing last year, and the confidence that those kids exhibit, I think, is just part and parcel of everything that goes on at St. Michael's. And so the administrator there now is still Kristen Jorgen Lee and Vice Principal
Mike Scott.
And Mike. And so under their leadership too, I think, you know, there's been such good work that's been done. So thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, Trustee CFO Lloyd, it looks like you're going to tell us about the 45th Street Service Center property purchase agreement.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. As we presented last year as part of the facility service center replacement project, part of it was to sell the existing service center. We listed it this fall, and we're happy to announce or present that we did receive an offer to purchase the building, and that offer has been accepted pending obviously board motion and a number of inspections that the purchaser will undertake in the next few weeks. We don't anticipate any concerns there, as we've inspected the building ourselves and done roof projects and a number of other upgrades, and don't expect anything happening out of that. So it was listed at $1.75 million. And we have accepted a counteroffer of $1.6 million,
The only proceeds come off that would be just commission of the sale. Terms of the agreement is a possession date of December 15th, which initially we proposed December 31st, but the 2 weeks earlier should allow our team to move in. We'll have to allow our team to move in by December 15th, and we'll dedicate a few more resources there to ensure that happens. But the new service center is progressing very well, and we'll see our group start moving in the next couple weeks. Report, if there's any questions.
Trustee Carrier?
Thank you, Joel. Good news that sold this. This Loose Lucania Holdings, what's the history of that corporation? Or have you vetted that corporation to see what history they have?
Yes, they're a local company out of Saskatoon, and they have a number of commercial real estate.
Commercial within
the city. A number of buildings within the province and the city of Saskatoon.
Okay, yeah, because I tried to Google it, and I, it was all over the map, and I wasn't able to. I noticed some holdings in Belford.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
So is they're just strictly a landlord type scenario, like with buildings or like more specific business?
Yeah, they primarily have commercial properties they lease out. And then they do have an operation in town as well. Under City Masonry is one of the companies that they also own.
Okay. So what's your plan for this building?
We don't know for sure, but what it sounds like is they will do some landlord improvements to it, allowing tenants to move into the building, either one or two tenants.
Okay. Those buildings behind those old portables, are they more with the building?
Yes. Yeah. The only items that will be moved off the site would be the sea cans, which have already been moved off a few weeks ago. And within the interior of the building, the only thing that's really remaining would be anything that's permanent construction, as well as the air compressor. They wanted that as part of the sale. Other than that, everything else will be removed and moved over to the new site. So like shelving and cabinetry, those kinds of things would be moved over.
So you just disposed of the sea cans? Or like—
Sea cans were repurposing them at the new service center. So we store some of our outdoor, our landscaping, mowers, yep, those kind of items, and those sea cans over the winter.
So just on that, the sea cans, are they going to be, the landscape of that 45th building sort of was intriguing, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff there.
Yes.
So the new location will be acceptable to the tenants in the neighborhood, like,
yes, yeah, no,
you know, well, be polite here.
Yeah, well, and every time you move, you have an opportunity to cleanse, so that was part of the process. But yeah, the sea cans will be like the new service center has a fairly large cemented compound that goes back, and it's fenced off. So where the sea cans would be in the very far back corner, which is behind it is just an empty lot that's fenced, and beside it is the side of a building. So there shouldn't be any concerns at all from neighbors at all.
The sea cans is just inherently are not the most, you know, good looking.
Yes, no, not usually, but from the roadway, it's pretty much as far as it can be from the roadway. And there's actually a fence gate that was put up by our service center staff. So you can't really even see it from the roadway. It's recessed back quite far. And from the other side, our building would obstruct most of that. So you shouldn't get any concern at all from forward. But yeah, very good news. We weren't sure in this market how quickly it would be sold. It was within actually the initial price range, and the net proceeds should be more than what we were even budgeting for, which will help with some of the expenses that we are seeing in the project.
Thank you.
Was there lots of interest?
Actually, there was quite surprising that quite a few toured the building, but at this point we've only received the one offer. So we thought this is a good offer, and it's good to see the building, you know, still stand and be used for future years.
Excellent. Any other questions, trustees? All right. The recommendation that the Board of Education approve the purchase agreement with Lucania. Did you say Lucania or Lucania?
Lucania
Holdings Limited for the Greater Saskatoon Catholic School Service Center building located at 834 45th Street East, Saskatoon. I'll need someone to move that. Next to Trustee Carrier, Trustee Beckler is seconding that motion. Are those in favor?
Aye.
That motion is carried. And your career as a real estate agent comes to an end.
Thank God.
All right. The last discussion agenda item is our trustee service recognition. So as all of you know, that this meeting represents this division's last meeting for the mandate of the period from November the 2016 to November of 2020. And this four-year term, I think everybody would agree, as Greg had mentioned, that it's gone very quickly in everything that has happened. But there's been lots of good things that have happened for the division with the guidance of the board and Greg and his executive team to actualize such wonderful things in the last 4 years. And so there's some items that are itemized there, just that strategic priorities that and goals that align themselves with the provincial goals that are continuing on to the next term, I guess, until such time that we're able to have new strategic goals. So I think that kind of work, very much so, I would credit Greg and his team for leading the province in lots of ways and capacities to be able to actualize that strategic plan. You know, all of us worked so hard on those six elementary schools that were open, the five-year plan for the calls and action for truth and reconciliation that we're working through with all of our schools. Displaying the Treaty Medal within our schools is a hallmark, I think, of our division. The Educational Alliance, as Gord has mentioned, and the good work that has been done with CUMFI and the Saskatchewan Métis Federation, the Mamaukamatuan Partnership with the Saskatoon Tribal Council has been excellent. And that whole renewal of our Together in Faith and Action Committee that Trustee Jelinski and Trustee Risling were on and had led in sort of the revitalization, I guess, in some ways, but also the blossoming maybe of that TFAC committee. The establishment, as Joel has just led us in that conversation about the service center and the work that took, and thank you to trustees for stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, how about a new building and a new place and a new home? And I think that was the impetus for what we're seeing now. The language learning in our schools, the wonderful work that's been done with St. Francis, and we look forward to that being actualized. And even things like the Catholic connections in the greater community that have allowed us to bring together health and education and the church all together under one banner, and the conversations at that table under the leadership of TFAC and Greg and Tim has been just excellent. So we could sit here and basically go through every board report that we've had every month and find something, three things that have been going on and allowing us to grow as a division and ensure that the opportunities that our students have are second to none. So we appreciate that. We also know that we're moving to this election period, and we'd like to congratulate Deb from Humboldt and Wayne from Saskatoon Rural and Martinsville and Warman and Benita, who we haven't had the chance to meet yet, in Bigger. The rest of the people that are putting their name forward to be selected as hopefully one of the seven of the board members that will represent Saskatoon. So that election period is continuing. And as people ask, for all of us, how have you been campaigning? And I think the answer for all of us is we've been campaigning since we were first elected 4 years ago, and the work that this board has done has been just excellent, and the service that all of us, all of you, have contributed to the excellence of this board is just very evident. And we thank the bishop for recognizing that as well within the greater community. We appreciate that, Bishop. This team has worked very, very hard in the professional manner that this board has, but also in the manner of being just good people who come and work together, who respect each other in so many ways, with the differences of opinions that can happen around the board, the differences and the strengths that all of us bring with our different experiences in the regular world, if I can say it that way. We all bring that, and we all come together to ensure that we all are heard, that we all have those opinions, and yet we come at the end of a meeting, a discussion, we come together in that consensus model that we're famous for, I think, in lots of ways, and so many good things get done around this table because of that consensus model. And so I think we have something to be proud of as this board, and the next board that is elected in November will have something to live up to, I think. And so we have two people that I'm always famous for this, Bishop. We have two people that are going to be leaving us this year. Alice, who isn't here with us today, and Todd, who is. And the expertise that both of those people have brought to the board has given the board life in so many different directions. And Todd, I guess I'll speak to you first, and how much we all appreciate the financial background that you bring to this board, the thoughtful process that you bring to this board when it comes to being able to think through circumstances and events and direction of the board, and how you bring that to the table in such a good, concise manner. I know that being out in Bigger has its challenges sometimes, and I hope that we've been able to meet some of those challenges by the good work that Daryl and his team have done to ensure that we're able to be able to come together this way in a time when sometimes we can't get together. We hope that we've tried to be as adaptable, I think, as possible in that capacity too. But you've contributed so much to this board in the terms, two terms, I think, that you've been with this board.
Since 2006, last 3 years.
Yeah. So that's so nine, I guess that would be, oh yeah, I guess that would be 11 years. That's a long time. So for the 11 years that you've been with the board, you have been just a great, great contributor to furthering Catholic education and in furthering all of the impact that this board can have on all of the students and the staff of this division. So on behalf of all of us, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Where's Lord? I thought you were in charge of all the protocols. Okay. Maybe because I don't get to tell me. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll leave this instead of candy. 6 feet away. Yeah. Anyway, this is from all of us, and just an acknowledgement of the work that you've done, the God-given gifts that you've shared with all of us, and how much we appreciate everything that Todd Hawkins and Heather Hawkins have done for Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools. So God bless you. Do you want to say some nice things about us now?
Yeah, just a couple things. I'm truly blessed to have the opportunity to work with everybody present here for sure, and right from when I started in 2006 in Saskatoon, and obviously the folks that I worked with back in Bigger before we came together as a group. I have thoroughly learned and enjoyed and grown as part of this board, and as mentioned to Daryl earlier, it's been so easy to have the tenure here with everybody that works here, and as much as I enjoy working with all of the trustees that I've worked with over the years, yeah, at this level I've really appreciated having the background and the knowledge and the support of our senior administration. They made it so easy for us to make our decisions as hard as they could be when we had good solid information, and we could be clear in our thoughts and not feel like we're making decisions that are, you know, willy-nilly shooting arrows in the dark. It's, you know, we've been a very solid group on their backs, and I want them to probably learn that, please. And thank you for having us. It's good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. And of course, all of us will pass along our best wishes to Alice as well. She's having some difficulties with her health at this point, so she's working through things. And I know she knows all of our prayers are with her as well. But she has been an icon, I guess, on this board. And I don't think that there is a school that hasn't seen Alice at some point and hasn't had her presence there that would contribute to the atmosphere of a special celebration, whether it was with the treaty medal installations or whether it was with the Catholic School Community Council meetings. And so she's been our voice and our presence in the greater population of Saskatoon Catholic just by virtue of her serving that 70% of population that doesn't have kids in schools, which I guess that's almost all of us except Todd right now too. But Alice was a really, really contributed in that way to bridge the conversation with all of those people to ensure that Catholic education was first and foremost in all of their minds as well. So I know Alice was feeling our prayers and our love for her right now too. So I guess the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Trustee Service Recognition Report. And I would like someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Hawkins. Someone will second that, Trustee Jelinski. All those in favor? That's great. So again, Todd and Alice, this is for you. While you're quietly opening your present, we have just a little bit of correspondence that I'd like to make mention of. So this has gone on out to Alice. This is from the Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association. So it says, as of September the 29th, Dear Alice, I am honored to send this letter as an official notification that you have been selected as one of the recipients of the 2020 Julian Pozlowski Meritorious Service Award from the Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association. As you may be aware, this award is presented annually to a person or persons who have made a highly significant contribution to Catholic education in the province of Saskatchewan. The SCSBA Board of Directors has recognized your tremendous contribution and many years of service to Catholic education and are pleased to recognize you with this award. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we are presently unable to schedule an event to formally congratulate you and present you with this award. I look forward to congratulating you in person as soon as we are able to do so, and I'll be in contact with you with the details. In closing, I would like to sincerely congratulate you on this most fitting honor. Your dedication and outstanding contribution may have indeed have been an inspiration to so many of us in Catholic education. May God continue to richly bless you. Sincerely, Tom Kurtowski, Executive Director of the SCSBA. So, an award that is very, very well earned. And also the same award, and I won't read it as well, but it will go out to Dick Batten, Queen's Counsel, for all the good work that he has done to ensure that Catholic education is protected from a legal standpoint, and his work, especially with our division, but this, I'm sure, with all of the divisions, through the theater case, is so well recognized, and we are pleased to have put forward his name, and we are doubly pleased that the Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association has accepted that. So we have two people receiving the Meritorious Award. So that is such a good thing. I'd also just like to let you know that on the passing of Donnie Ziegler's husband in Regina, so we have, as we did with Richard when he passed away, and we made a memorial donation to the Toonies for tuition, but we've done the same thing for Donna and her family in recognition of her husband, John. So we'll pass that along as well. All right, let's go now to the reports and good news. So the report of the Director of Education is only a one-pager, so he's not been doing too much, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a little quiet. Just wanted to highlight a few things. So you're aware, there are continue to be weekly pandemic-related meetings at various levels, both local here in Saskatoon and through the province. So those meetings, again, are kind of just taking stock of where we are right now and trying to read the tea leaves a bit about where things are trending and heading, and trying to anticipate challenges that may come our way. So all of that work is continuing, and I anticipate will continue for some period of time to come. We also do want to maintain a close connection with a lot of our local groups and leadership groups, such as our QP associations, our Teacher Relations Committee, Saskatchewan Teachers Association, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of our groups here in the local area, really we need to be in good communication and contact with them to make sure that we're attending to all of the impacts and challenges that come from the changes that we've made. So those connections are continuing to happen in various ways and shapes, and so we see that to be, again, something that will continue for some period of time to come. But again, just really amazed and pleased with the leadership, the dedication, the commitment that's coming through all of these groups. Everyone is pulling together in such great ways to support our kids, our staff, our families, and our communities, and being incredibly creative and
dedicated to the work, and so it's a real pleasure and an honor to work with them. Our Mamau Kamatran Governments Committee met on September 17th. Probably a little brief report as well on that one, but just to highlight the two main components that we went through there was around a revised planning framework to support the detailed design work for St. Francis, as well then to begin that process, to develop that process around some of our co-governance discussions. Again, we'll talk about that more shortly. The SCSBA Association, of course, we met virtually on the 19th, and the Julian Pozlowski Meritorious Service Award would have been the some of the work done there amongst other work for the SCSBA. Just a confirmation for this Ed Sector Strategic Plan that is moving forward with just moving forward with another year of the ESSB goals. The Provincial Education Plan transition won't happen until next year. And we're still just finalizing what the provincial assessments might look like here for related to that. And not all assessments can happen the way they did. We lost so much time in April, May, June of last year when a number of assessments were taking place, and some of the ones that we had planned for this year may not be able to happen the same way. So working through that that detail right now. And Orange Shirt Day was September 30th. Again, a little different in the schools, but still they were very creative in finding ways to honor the Orange Shirt Day this year, and continuing to deepen our understanding of residential schools and their lasting impact, and of course our recommitment to working towards reconciliation. So those are just a few of the highlights we wanted to raise today. Unless there's other questions.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Trustees, any questions of Greg? Jim?
Greg, just a quick update on the Theodore case. What's the latest in terms of hearing from the Supreme Court?
Sure. So latest on the Theodore case is the public section has gone through the process to file for present to have the Supreme Court of Canada hear the appeal. That all of that process is completed now. Both groups have submitted all of their documentation to the Supreme Court of Canada. That wrapped up in early September. At this point now, the Supreme Court is just considering whether it will grant leave to appeal or not. We anticipate that decision will come forward in the next 3 to 5 months, well, I guess 2 to 4 months now. At that point, that will just be the decision about whether they will actually hear the appeal or not hear the appeal. So if they choose to hear the appeal, then the process will get underway again of developing all of the arguments and getting everything ready to present to the Supreme Court of Canada. If they choose not to hear the appeal, then it will end at that stage.
Okay, thank you, Greg. I see no other questions. Trustees, anything to report as far as any board activity linkage at this point? That is not much that's going on. Board linkage as far as Catholic school community councils. I know that in my emails, I've got a whole new fresh group of schools that are sending me their newsletters. And so we'll encourage everyone as much as possible to engage. If there's opportunity to join a Teams meeting or a Zoom meeting, I'm not sure if they're all Teams. I think, yeah, a little bit of both. We'll encourage you to do so. Wayne, that's good. All good. Okay.
It's just being in the normal and everyday business of these meetings. It's just not there, you know.
Yeah.
Fundraising, that kind of stuff, and how do you do that, and what do you do now, and it's just basically down to like, it's not open, it's trying to
And now elections are happening, right, too, so I'm not sure if they're having any, you have to ask Tammy how, if they're having issues actually having people step up to the plate. I'm not sure if that's...
You need a mic. In order to record.
Thank you. Sorry for about that. So most are doing fairly well. Some are having trouble because, just like what Wayne had said, they're not able to meet face to face. There's some issues around technology or access. our school teams are doing an amazing job to try to reach out and find other ways to engage at this time, but it definitely does put a barrier in place.
Thank you, Tammy, for your good work in that capacity. Now, convention reports, we don't have anything at this point, and committee and partnership reports. So, joint operations, Trustee Bergeyde and Seuss, anything to report?
We met virtually on February 13th, and Wayne and I were reporting that we were acquainted, but both Dave and Linda had brought an opposition to the voting election. We talked about draft budget, and we also talked about enrollment. And enrollment at the high school has been pretty steady there at 363, I believe. Greg, is that correct? And we're meeting again December 1st.
Okay, thank you, Deb and Wayne, for your work there. Together in Faith and Action, Trustee Jelinski and Risling, anything to report, Tim?
Virtually nothing.
Okay. Thank you for that. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustee Zakreski-Berbecki, anything to let us know, Sharon? Same to you. Okay, thank you. The Mamal Kamatwan Partnership with the Saskatoon Tribal Council, so that's myself and Sharon and Alice. All of you will know that Chief Mark Arcand has won a second term to be representing the Saskatoon Tribal Council, and so we've sent a letter on your behalf congratulating him from the division and looking forward to working with him as well. Comfy and GSCS Educational Alliance, thank you, Board, for the good report that you gave. That's myself and Jim and Wayne, and so we await, I guess, the next meeting at some point. But I think we're fairly comfortable at this point with what's going on. The Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association, Trustee Jelinski, anything to report?
Not really. I wasn't at that meeting, but you and Greg attended that meeting. But just today we received minutes from executive director, so I think at some future point I'll be distributed to the board. But at this point, nothing more than what you had suggested last time.
Thank you, Tim. And the Saskatchewan School Boards Association, you all know that we are going to be having a virtual convention at the end of November. They attended a board chairs council meeting virtually this morning, and so they are working on having things like election buddy that will be part of the voting process for bylaws and resolutions. No bylaws, some resolutions are coming in, so that's all working to be done virtually. There are some, interestingly enough, some boards are getting together, say in this kind of a format, and actually attending the convention that way. And so they are, so we would, you know, if we decided to do that, we would have this kind of a setup where everything would be, I think it's Teams that they're using as well. Don't quote me on that, but we would be able to do that, or the next board, I guess, would be able to determine that they would like to do that together without having to travel anywhere. So that's an opportunity too. So you can do it two ways. You can register and then just do it from home, or there may be an opportunity to do it this way as well. Okay, I don't see anything else on our agenda at this point. We're going to be going into in committee. I will require someone to move us. So, Trustee Hawkins, are you willing to do that?
Sure.
All right, we'll go into committee.